This is Ashley Hodge with the Sikkim 365 podcast, and I have a special guest today. I'm here with Coach Bill Peterson. He's the director of player operations for Baylor, or basketball operations, I should say. And Coach Peterson, thanks for joining the podcast. How are you doing?
Thank you, Ashley. Good to be here. Good to be with you tonight.
Well, hey, listen, I'll just dive into it. It's been a tough start to the season. It's obvious that the chemistry is not quite there yet. You know, we've had Mekhi Mason, who hasn't been practicing every day. We have Mario Kegler, who missed the first six games and just returned to the lineup. And we've got some freshmen and just a lot of new faces in general. The outside shooting's been a little hit or miss in a lot of the games. But I really think you could see potential from this team to be a good team. And I've heard really good things about their work ethic, their attitude, their desire to get better. What are some of your observations on this team so far this year, and what have you seen that encourages you?
You hit it on the head, and the chemistry has definitely been an issue for us. And I think maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 days if we had everybody in practice that can actually play in a game. Obviously, Rio Kegler missed the first six games, and he was able to practice but not play in games. And then Mekhi Mason got hurt. So we haven't really had them all together to really see what we can do on a daily basis. And then we have a lot of new guys. You know, the only guys that played any kind of minutes last year are King McClure and Tristan Clark and Mark Lytle. And, you know, they're all good players, but none of them last year were mainstay guys. You know, were guys that led us in points or rebounds or assists. So they've all moved into new roles too. So there's really not one guy on the team that is playing the same role he played last year for us to be successful. So there's a lot of trying out, a lot of different things, and trying to figure out who plays well with each other and what's our best defense and what do we need to run offensively. So we're a work in progress. We're going to be better at the end of the year than we are now.
Right.
And, you know, we can see ourselves improving. But we're going to lose some games along the way. That's just the way it's going to be. The Big 12, obviously, is one of the best leagues in the country. And, you know, it's not a league just going to come in and start winning with a bunch of new guys.
Right.
We like our attitude of our guys. Our work ethic's been good. I think we probably have had more guys in the gym on off days when they're not supposed to be there than we've had in the past. I know that last year, obviously, this is just my second year, so I don't know about before that, but we have a lot of guys that come in and get extra shots, get extra work in, you know, get extra lifts in with Coach Charlie Melton. And, you know, those are all positive things that we want to see continue to build on throughout the year.
Yeah, that's encouraging. So we have a two-week break here between the Wichita State and the Arizona games, which is unusual in a college basketball season. What does that look like? What have you been doing as a team to get ready for Arizona, or just improvement in general? What are some of the things you've been focusing on?
What we did right away after the first week, you know, we knew this was built in the schedule, and, you know, some of it was how we scheduled early in the year because we knew Mario Kegler would be out for six games, and we pushed some of our games up a little bit so he didn't miss so many games up until, you know, so that he had a couple extra games to play before we went into the Big 12 season.
Right.
So some of that's the reason we have the long break. And we decided to split these 2 weeks in half. And Scott put a plan together with our staff. And we talked about the first week, which was last week. What are we going to do to get better? What fundamentals do we need to talk about to improve? And we did that. We sat down and essentially broke down probably three or four things that we wanted to see us get better at every day. And one of those was blocking out. We didn't do a very good job at Wichita State being physical and hitting guys. So we really focused on that in the couple days we had to practice that first week. And another thing was essentially screening, setting good screens so we can execute better offensively, being a little more physical and tougher on the floor. And then the last thing was ball movement. Moving the ball at a quicker pace so we could get better shots, focusing on our front movement. So those were the three things we really focused on getting better at in that week that we had right after the Wichita State game. And then this week, We focused a little more. We continue to work on those things. We focused more on Arizona. We play Arizona on Scout. So we ran Arizona's plays, and we play like Arizona plays. So we're playing against them every day in practice and guarding their sets and playing against them how they will play defensively. So that's kind of how we broke the 2 weeks up that we've had.
Interesting. Have you had healthy bodies most days? Is that, yeah, we gotten a lot healthier?
The only guy that's missing any practice has been Makai. Mason, he's been out a day or two, but he practiced good today. He went to old practice today. And so we pretty much had everybody on the team practicing, and you know, we're probably as healthy as we've been all year at this point in time.
Good. So you're director of basketball operations. What does that job entail? What does a day in the life of Coach Peterson look like?
A lot of it depends on what Scott wants me to do, and you know, some of the responsibilities I have throughout the day. One of my big responsibilities that is kind of ongoing is preparing the schedule for next season. Is in the Big 12, we have 18 conference games, and we have 12 games that we have to get on our own to get to 30. So my job is to fill those 12 games, whether they be guarantee games or starting a home and dome series, or you know, buying a team into play or playing in an exempt tournament, whatever it is. And you know, Scott and I sit down and he kind of gives me some parameters, and then you know, I go to work on it. This year it's been a little easier than last year. We have essentially only 3 games left to get at this point in time, which is pretty good.
Yeah.
And so that's, you know, entails calling other schools, emailing people, seeing if somebody would like to start a home and home with us, and then also working in advance 2 years and 3 years down the road on exempt tournaments that Scott looks for us to be in. That's one of my main responsibilities. And then I take care of all the visiting teams that come in, setting up practice times and shoot-around times. I work with our graduate assistants and also the people that run the Farrell Center to set up times when those visiting teams can come in. I spend a lot of time watching film of us and then giving Scott suggestions of things I think we need to work on, and then cutting clips up of certain guys on the team, whether it be Matt Mayer or King McClure or Devontae Bandu, and then giving them to one of the GAs and having them watch film with them and just help them study what they can do to get better and how they can improve as a player.
Right.
And then if we're playing a certain team and, you know, Scott will say, hey, everybody on the staff, watch a couple games, you know, whether it's Arizona or Wichita State, and I see something in our preparation, then I visit with the coach that's in charge of the scout and say, hey, I think we should play zone on them, or they're really weak inside, or, you know, I think we need to switch all the pick and rolls because we can guard them better that way.
Right.
So, hey, things of that nature. You know, if Scott has something different he wants me to do, you know, he may come to me and say, I want you to work on this today, or I want you to think about spending some time with this guy. I spend a lot of time with our guys outside the basketball. You know, we're allowed to go take them to eat, you know, occasional meal in town. And I try and spend a lot of time with our younger players to help them adjust to college basketball. And Matt Mayer and Devontae Bandu and Flo are 3 of the guys I spend a lot of time with that are all new to our program. And, you know, take them to eat, how they doing in class, you know, what are you struggling with? This is what I see. This is how I think you can get better. Why don't you try and work on this? And then if we have off days, I'm in charge of the GAs, the graduate assistants. So I set the GAs up to do workouts, like the voluntary workouts. You know, the GAs will have a couple guys, and I'll sit down with them and teach them what they need to work on.
Yep.
And what they need to do when Devontae comes in. Let's say he's going to be in for 40 minutes on Thursday, and we're not practicing. He needs to work on shots coming off a weak side pin down, or he needs to work on ball screen, coming off a ball screen really quick, take a couple dribbles and shoot the ball, or he needs to work on feeding the post and spotting up to get his shot off quicker. I'll put a workout together and give it to the GAs, and then they'll work the player out when he comes in. So it's a different job because I'm not obviously on the floor every day coaching and teaching, but you know, Scott, we have a very good staff, and they're pretty open and willing to learn. So it's a challenging job, and I enjoy it.
Well, that's great. And I'll put a plug in. I went to the tournament in Destin, and it's really neat to watch those early season tournaments because you're playing good competition. The crowds are usually a little lighter, and it's usually in a resort location. I think we go to Myrtle Beach next year, correct?
Right. Yes, we do. That's right. Yeah, Ashley.
And we got some potential cupcakes, like teams like Villanova and Memphis and – I'm joking. I mean, there's lots of good teams in that tournament, if I remember right.
It is a stacked. It'll be one of the best tournaments in the country next year. Us and Villanova, Memphis State, Mississippi State's in it.
Yep.
Utah's in it.
Oh, yeah.
So there are some really good teams. I'd say probably three or four of those teams will be top 15, top 20 in the country next year.
Right. And hopefully we're one of them.
Yeah.
I know you can't. We don't want to spend too much time looking forward because we got a lot of season to play this year. But I did get a chance to catch a couple practices, and I think Baylor fans would enjoy hearing just maybe a few words about Davion Mitchell and Macy O'Teague and what you've seen from them as far as their development since they arrived on campus.
Yeah, actually, both of them are. I mean, Baylor fans are going to be really excited to see both of them play. Davion Mitchell's a 6'1 point guard from Auburn, played a year there and played probably 18 minutes a game off the bench. I don't know that he started at all, but a tremendous and elite defender. He will be a joy to watch defensively. He can pick the ball up 94 feet. He can turn his man. He can pick your pocket. Great fast twitch motor. Can sit in a stance. Be able to guard probably any guard in the country because he's so quick and strong. And he will change our defense immediately because the point of our defense will be as solid as a wall with him out there.
Javon Carter, is that a fair comparison?
Yeah, not as big as that, but yeah, a lot like that, full court, yeah. Not as probably good a shooter or strong, but really quick in the open floor, good getting to the basket, has really worked on his outside shot and has gotten better. Has worked to deliver the ball a little better, but a defender on that level, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Really, we'll be able to change tempo of the game. We can pressure the ball. And just a real energy guy. You know, doesn't take days off. A really, really good person. In the gym a lot, working on his day. Wants to learn. Just a real upbeat kid. And just a good guy to have around. And then Macy O'Teague is more of a combo guard. He can play the one, but he's bigger than Davion, has huge long wingspan. He's 6'3", he has a +6 in his wingspan, which makes him 6'9", which is really, really important when you try and move up as a player, as a pro. And a tremendous shooter. Shoots a little different. You know, it doesn't shoot it super high, has a lower release, but he is a tremendous three-point shooter. And he's just one of those guys, actually, that knows how to score. I mean, he scored over 1,000 points in his 2 years at UNC Asheville. His first year, he averaged 17 a game. He was freshman in the league. And it's a lower-level league than the Big 12. But anytime you can go in college basketball and average 18 a game right away, that's pretty good.
Right.
And he loves to play. He's from Cincinnati, Ohio. He's always in the gym. Him and Davion have gotten a really good connection with each other. Because they're in there together a lot. They give us tremendous competition every day in practice when we play against them. And both of them will be impact players immediately in the Big 12 when they're eventually eligible. So they will be a fun pair to watch play together.
Yeah, that's great. So what do you think the identity of this team is going to be? Like what's the best version of this team, or what do you see as the ceiling? And I know it's probably a tough question because you're still – trying to discover what it is, but when you sit around and envision what, you know, the best version of this team, what do you see?
You know, the best version to me, I don't know that everyone on staff would agree with this, is that we're a little slower than a lot of Baylor teams have been in the past, and I mean slower, and maybe we don't get up and down as quick. We have a lot of big, thick bodies, and we're a strong team with Mark Vidal and Mario Kegler and Tristan Clark and King McClure. You look at their bodies, and the best version would be if we were a pound team that you know, set great screens and grinded it, got really good inside opportunities, and then took advantage of getting the ball in there, pitching it out, making threes, and then a physical, tough defensive team to where you just got to fight to score against. Probably not an up-tempo team pressing full court.
Right.
But someone that plays very hard, and when that ball goes up on that glass, we're hitting you and we're cracking you. And then on offense, we're going to run on, you know, opportunity, miss shots, long rebounds, turnovers, that kind of thing. But we're also going to be more controlled on the offensive end as far as moving the ball and, you know, trying to get the ball to the right people to score baskets and being a team that values the ball, takes care of it, and has a low turnover number to where we're down, you know, getting 9, 10, 11 turnovers a game instead of 15, 16 turnovers a game.
Right.
And that getting to the free throw line, a team that gets to the line because we use our strength and we try and wear you down. That would be the best version in my mind, but we're a long way off from that because we have so many moving pieces, and we don't have any guys that are really solid in their role and then, hey, I know what I'm supposed to do every night out because this is what I've done in the past.
Right.
And we're still learning, and we're still growing. And like I said, I think you'll see a lot of growth on this team. But, you know, we're also going to lose some games against some good people early, you know, before you see that growth come to fruition.
Right. Well, I heard you speak in Fort Worth, and it was really a moving testament to your faith. You know, you talked about the loss of Haley, your daughter, who was tragically killed in a car accident. Was that 2000? Was that back in 2000?
Yeah, in 2000. Yeah.
And just how important your faith is to you and how important it's been to be at Baylor and to be able to build into these young men, as you know, and to share the Christian faith with them. And you mentioned being able to take players to lunch and, you know, be able to spend time with them. I mean, I know the culture of Baylor basketball, there's a strong emphasis on honoring Christ, and you know, Scott really sets a great culture as far as that's concerned. You know, what have you seen just maybe being able to spend time with these players and really build into them spiritually?
You know, it's the only place I've ever worked in my life where I can share my faith openly and I can pray openly to where somebody doesn't say, hey, you can't do that. You know, I spent 11 years in the NBA, and, you know, I was at a lot of other schools. I was an associate coach at Colorado State, and I was a head coach at Alabama Huntsville Division II, and I've been in junior college, and so I've been in a lot of different levels, and, you know, I've never been allowed to share my faith and pray with our players. To where nobody was worried about it and said, hey, you know, we can't do that. You know, you can't share your faith. And losing my daughter changed my life and the impact that made me stronger in my faith as a Christian, but also helped me to realize that, you know, life is precious and we don't have as long as you might think. And when a tragedy happens, what are you going to fall back on? And I look at all the guys on our team and think that, you know, I might be the one guy, or one of our sisters will be the only guy who shares their faith with them or really teaches them about God and his son Jesus Christ, of what he meant to us and what he could mean to them, because he died on the cross for our sins and 3 days later he rose from the dead. And, you know, a lot of guys hear it, but they don't really understand how to live it. So Scott gives us an open door to share our faith, and he lives it every day with our guys. And obviously, we want to win games. That's the most important thing. But, you know, when I'm able to take a guy to lunch and I can see him start growing in his faith and he becomes a Christian, or he believes in God and all of a sudden he makes a renewed commitment that he wants to change his life, well, that guy's going to go on to be a father and a husband. And, you know, he's going to be able to influence people on down the road too. And that's one of the most important things I think you can ever do for anybody, is lead them to Christ or help them improve their faith, strengthen their faith, so that they can live it on every day of their life. Because, you know, they're going to be a husband, they're going to be a father, they're going to have kids, and they're going to be able to move on and influence other people in their life. And that's the kind of environment Scott puts together, and it's enjoyable to work in it, and it's enjoyable to see our guys come in sometimes with no faith and sometimes with little faith, and see them grow. And, you know, probably one of the hardest things is that to do that, it takes trust. You know, you got to spend time with them, and it's got to be quality time. And Scott and the Baylor administration give us the opportunity to do that, with encouraging us to, you know, have lunch with them. And another thing I do that I really love doing, that Scott allows us to do, is I'm really big, actually, on staying after practice. I like to be the last guy in practice, and I just sit there and visit with guys. And, you know, and when I was in the NBA as a player development coach, one of my jobs was to work guys out after practice. And you'd be amazed at what guys would tell me after practice.
Right.
After going through a practice, and all of a sudden I'd work out with them, or I'd work on some ball handling, or we'd work on form shooting, or we'd work on closeouts. And then we just relax. They'd let their hair down, and they'd tell me all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, I can't do it because I don't violate some of the guys that I've been able to work with. But I could tell you stories I got from Steve Nash, Dirk Nowitzki, and Luke Bamute, Tobias Harris.
Right.
They told me or talked to me because, you know, if I look around after practice, it'd be an hour and a half after practice, and it'd just be him and me and Tobias.
Right.
Or me and Steve Nash. I'd say, where's everybody else at? I said, you know, I'm here for a reason. I want to help you get better.
Right.
And I want to help you learn to be a pro. And they start to realize, hey, you're here to help me.
Yeah.
You want me to get better. It's not for you. You know, it's not just to win games. And then guys start to trust you. They realize, hey, you really want me to succeed, don't you?
Right.
And that's when they let their hair down and share things with you that they would never share to anybody else. And our guys are the same way. You know, but it takes time.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I think it's awesome. One of the best testaments to the program, and I know you're newer to the program, but I've heard from players that are now in their late 20s, early 30s, when I talk to them after their playing days are over, and I ask them, you know, the Tweety Carters and the Henry Dugots and, you know,
right,
the Josh Lomers, and you ask them questions about their experience at Baylor, I think, you know, they really have an appreciation for the spiritual element that they perhaps didn't appreciate as much when they were there.
Yes.
You know, it's time, you know, gives them the reflection to really understand and value that.
Yep. So, very true. Very true. When they go on to leave and they start remembering some of the things Scott talked about, or being in a circle and praying for somebody, or the chapels we have with Pastor Scott Brewer, or the chapels we have on game day with Pastor Weibel, and, you know, sometimes one of them will say, man, I remember that chapel you talked about going to work every day,
right,
you know, being diligent. And those things seem to come back, and guys start to realize, wow, you know, it's not just all about playing basketball. There's a whole lot more to life, you know. So it's a unique school, and a very, very unique basketball program.
Well, great. Well, we'll close on a more lighthearted note. Wingspan matters. What does that statement mean to you?
Oh, boy. I got a good story for you, Ashley.
I love
it. NBA, it was one of my first years, and wingspan is so, so important in the NBA because the guys are so big, and, you know, a guy might measure at 6'8", but if he has a plus 6 wingspan, if he has a 7'4 wingspan, well, that essentially makes him 2 or 3 inches bigger as he plays. So we're in the draft room on draft night, and I think it's my first or second year there. And I'm in the room, but obviously I don't have any input. I'm just kind of listening. I've never been in a draft room in the NBA before. It's really cool. They got all the names on the board, and they've crossed them all off. Well, we're in the second round, and there's two rounds. And we're on pick 54, 55, and it's our pick coming up. And we got three names on the board, and we're looking for a guard. And most people say, nothing to it. Well, a pro player, or a player personnel director, is a guy named Dave Babcock, who's still with the Bucks.
Yeah.
And the GM is a guy named John Hammond, who's now the GM in Orlando.
Right.
And we got three names on the board, and be honest with you, I can't even remember who the other two were. One of them was a guard from Pitt. I don't know who the other one was, and then another one was a guard named Ramon Sessions, and he played in Nevada football.
Yeah.
And they were talking about, it's the guard from Pitt or it's Ramon Sessions. And one of them said, well, you know, Sessions is a plus 5 wingspan, and the other kid's only a plus three. Okay, and then the other thing you said was Sessions has really big shoulders, and the other kid's a little narrower. So we took Ramon Sessions with the 56th pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And nobody thought he was going to be a very good player, but we worked with him and developed him, sent him to the D League. He ended up being a starter and playing 11 years in the NBA.
Wow, yeah.
And, one of the reasons for that was that his wingspan was 2 or 3 inches bigger than the other guys that was on the board at that point.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously we made the right choice. He was a great kid. He's one of the closest guys I ever spent time. I spent 3 years with him in Milwaukee, worked with him all the time, and he was a tremendous person, but ended up being a really, really good, solid pro and starting a number of years, played for the Cavs, played for the Lakers, the Bucks, and but that story of wingspan is true, and that's the reason we picked him over the other guy.
Well, you're speaking my language, and I need to get you a Wingspan Matters t-shirt. I need to show up to the game early and deliver that to you. So,
I would love to have it. It's so, so important. And we had a couple guys on our team. You know, MACOT is a plus six
yep.
wingspan, and Matt Mayer is pretty good too. You know, that length, you know, people sometimes don't realize that when a guy has really, really long arms and a guard, like when a guard has pretty big hands, they tend to handle the ball a little better, too.
Right.
Those are all things that, you know, pro people spend a lot of time looking at guys and analyzing them to realize what's been successful. You know, those couple extra inches matter, especially late in the game. You get a deflection or a steal. You keep somebody from scoring because you tip the ball because your arms are so long. We had a guy when I was in Milwaukee who's out there playing now named Ersan Ilyasova from Turkey.
Yep.
And he was a young player when I was there, and I spent a lot of time with him on his shot, and just a great hard worker. But he was a tremendous offensive rebounder, and he didn't jump very high, but his arms were so long,
right?
And he had such good timing, and he had huge hands, you know, and he'd just be able to tip that ball to himself and get those extra possessions. And one year when I was there with Scott Skiles, he made the playoffs, and he was one of the reasons why. He got so many extra possessions for us to score, and it wasn't because he could jump. It was because his arms were so long,
right.
And he could tip the ball to himself and then tip it out and give us an extra possession.
Right.
And that was all about wingspan.
Well, I think on our message boards, there's a lot of excitement over Matt Mayer. I mean, he's an untamed colt in some respects. You know, he's going to do something exciting every possession. You just don't know if it's going to be good or bad. But we love his potential, and we see, you know, that he's got that aggressive gene, that he has a confidence that's hard to teach, and that should translate into something.
He's got a lot of good physical gifts, you know, and he just needs to continue to grow up and mature as a player. And, you know, he's got some ability that, you know, other guys don't have. You know, he's a really good passer, and he can make others better. You know,
right.
He can score the ball, and, you know, like I keep trying to, you know, visit with him and talking with him, you know, he can be different because he's 6'9", and he can't handle the ball.
Right.
You just don't find a lot of guys at 6'9", that can handle it and pass the ball. You know, most of the guys that size that can handle it, and they can shoot a little bit, but they can't make passes.
Right.
You know, and one of the guys we talk about a lot, you know, we talk about the kid that Dallas has, Luka Doncic.
Yep.
You know, and you know, I cut clips and give them to him to watch and say, what'd you see? I said, the other night, we were talking about just the other day before practice, kind of laughing, because he likes watching him too.
Right.
And I said, you know, the other night they beat the Magic, okay? He had 7 points, 11 assists, and 9 rebounds, and he was the most dominant player on the floor.
Right.
Okay? There's a reason the Mavericks are winning now, okay? And Luka Doncic is a huge part of that.
Yep.
You know, because how he can pass that ball and how he can get other guys shots and just the pace that he plays at, you know, and Matt has some abilities, you know, being able to pass the ball and be able to handle the ball and be able to snatch a rebound and take it on the dribble and throw it ahead.
Right.
You know, he just has to mature and become consistent. You know,
right.
He's still a very, very young player, you know, so we're excited about his upside.
Yeah, we've got, I think the freshman class as a whole, you know, Butler is definitely shown some signs of potential greatness, and Thamba as well. I think there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, well, we love all our three freshmen, and, you know, float down the side, great body, you know, very hard worker, energy guy, and but it's tough. I mean, he's coming in one of the best leagues in the country, and he's got to continue to grow and develop, but he's got a chance to be a good player and a really good rebounder, and he's pretty good, got some little bit of touch around the basket, and Jared Butler is a really good shooter and a really better defender than I think we thought he'd be, and got a toughness gene to him, but you know, he's got to try and come in and learn how to run a team.
Right.
In the Big 12 as a freshman, and you look at how many guys doing that.
Right.
You know, it's a hard thing to do, and Jared's a very smart individual and picks things up quick. he's got a good future for us too. So we're excited about all three of those young guys, what they bring to the table, and just how much upside all of them have. We can see all of them getting better. You know, and they've all improved since day one, and you know, hopefully they'll make another jump here before we start Big 12 play in January.
Well, hey, thank you for taking time, Coach Peterson. I appreciate your answers and your perspectives and certainly your Christian faith and how much you've meant to Baylor. And thank you for all you do. And you've been listening to the Sikkim 365 podcast. And we'll look forward to watching the Bears Saturday night versus Arizona. And
great.
Hopefully.
Thanks, Ashley. Enjoyed visiting with you.
Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Okay.